It's the JT the Brick Show, broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio.
Raiders bring a blitz. He takes up off the middle, and he's wrapped up from behind. Max Crosby!
Your silver and black home to sound off for over 20 years.
Open at the 35, racing to the 20, 10, touchdown Raiders!
And now, here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, JT with you as we begin a full day, full schedule. And we kick off the month of Rocktober. Yes, I have an AC/DC shirt on. Yeah, it's rock and roll. And we're excited as we start another month here. We got through September. Raider Nation and everybody else who's joining us, including all the other NFL fans around the world. As I told you, you want to get through September. This was, for football fans, a brutal September. Brutal around the league. You know, even Kansas City's 4-0, they lost two of their best players for the year with injuries. Brutal, brutal start to the season. And I want to get into that a little bit later on. Welcome in. A lot to get to. As you know, the breaking news of my friend Pete Rose dying yesterday. I have a very heavy heart. Didn't sleep much last night. And the news broke when I was on the radio live. And I've been on the radio live for a lot of things. A tsunami, the 9-11, the 9-11, the war in Iraq, much more serious things when it comes to global topics. But when it comes to death and tragedy, that was one of the toughest radio shows I've ever done last night on Mad Dog Sports Radio, because I was in the middle of my monologue and found out that Pete Rose died. I had to figure out during my monologue in real time, kind of a little bit harder than chewing gum and walking, but I had to figure out if it was confirmed or not, because you can't talk about someone dying if they didn't die. You can't get that one wrong. And then once we got an email from MLB Network that came into my email and my boss, and then TMZ's the best at this. They're number one. They always have been. TMZ is a company owned and run by lawyers. They broke it first, so I knew it was real. Then my phone started blowing up. And then I just went into Pete Rose mode. And the whole show. So Reggie Jackson called in. You'll hear that today. Christopher Mad Dog Russo, one of the biggest personalities in the history of our format, called me. Larry Boa, who won a World Series with Pete, called in. And I reached out to a lot of people, and a lot of people came back to me. But, yeah, Chris Myers, you'll hear a little bit of that. But I lost a friend. Pete wasn't an acquaintance. He was a friend of mine. Pete Rose gave me a big break in my business. As I always tell anybody who cares, it's not that big of a deal. My career started on the Jim Rome Show as a caller, and then I quickly went to Sports Fan Radio Network here in Vegas, and my big break was I was named the co-host of the Pete Rose Show, and I did that for almost 2 years. I did it for 23 months, and I did a double shift, 8 hours a day. I did 5 hours at night, and I did 2 or 3 hours with Pete, and I did a lot of shows with Pete. And then we became friends. And then we became really good friends. And Bobby told me today when I came in, we got 38-minute interviews. I got 19. I got a lot of Pete Rose content. We won't use a lot of it. But I'm really troubled by the news I had yesterday. I lost a friend, a good friend, a guy who would call me out of the blue. Not often, but, you know, when I least suspected, I'd look down and I'd get a call from Pete. And he'd ask me something about the Raiders or something in life. But he'd always say, "How's your wife? How's your kids?" And I'm at peace because the last time I saw Pete at July at Virgin Hotels at a conference that I spoke at, and Pete was there, he met my son for the first time. And it wasn't really the first time. Let me say that. He met my son in L.A. in a stroller, but it was the first time he ever really met my son. And they had a great 5 minutes together, and it brought tears to my eyes last night because that's the last time I saw Pete. And to tie him in with my son, where he said really cool stuff about him. He was sincere about what my son was doing with his new job. He said some good things about me and my wife. He knew my mom and dad. And, you know, for Pete, I'm really troubled by this, because a big thing I've been trying to talk about in life lately, because my dad's 86, my mom will be 85. So Raider bye week, I'll be gone the whole week in Naples, Florida. My mom turns 85 on November 8th, and I'll be there that whole week. And, you know, I'm terribly guilty that I don't see my parents enough. Terribly guilty, because I can't. They're on the other side of the country. You know, and my dad's 3 years older than Pete Rose, who died out of the blue. Pete wasn't doing well health-wise, but by no means did I think Pete was going to die yesterday. And if I knew he was really bad, I would have went and saw him. I would have been able to pick up the phone, and I would have said I loved him. I would have said goodbye graciously, and I wasn't able to do that. Like I wasn't able to do that with Bill Walton and Jim Otto recently, who were two people that I knew really well. And I had a chance to say goodbye to Jim Brown. And it was a very emotional moment for me in Canton, Ohio a couple of years ago. But to lose Pete Rose, it hasn't hit me yet. It's going to hit me really hard. And one of my passions in life was to do everything I could to help him get into the Baseball Hall of Fame. And I knew I wasn't going to be the difference. I'm not going to be the difference in that, but it was a passion of mine. And I really hoped that I knew deep down inside, I knew it. And it's the first time I'm going to say this. I knew that they'd let him into the Hall of Fame after he died. I always knew that they wouldn't have the guts and the balls to kind of have a problem and try to solve it. It's a very difficult debate. I've been debating it my entire career. Pete Rose, Hall of Fame or not? Pete Rose, should he get in or not? Lifetime banishment, forgiveness, forgive him. I've debated it more than most people that you've ever heard of on the radio because he was my friend. I worked for him at one point. He changed my life, and I had some skin in the game when it came to Pete. And it really pains me that I wasn't able to get that achievement in my life done. It really pains me that I wasn't able to kick a lawn chair open in Cooperstown, New York with my sons, maybe a grandkid down the road if it's going to take forever, whatever it is. And sit there and get invited to Pete's private party. Maybe have a tiny role in emceeing a portion of it. But just to be a fan, sitting on the grass in Cooperstown as Pete Rose was alive and willing to go on stage in baseball's Hall of Fame. It was a dream of mine. I thought about it. I actually dreamed of it. I did dream of it. And it didn't come to fruition. And I'm devastated by that. So they're going to put him in the Hall of Fame now. They're going to. Because that's what they do. I emceed Ken Stabler's Hall of Fame party and Cliff Branch. They both weren't there because that was a misjustice by Pro Football's Hall of Fame. But baseball, as I tell everybody, Pete made a lot of mistakes in his life. He's a flawed human being. I'm a flawed man. Many people are flawed. Pete was really flawed. He lied for a long time about betting on baseball, and that cost him an opportunity to go to baseball's Hall of Fame while he was alive. Because I think if Pete came clean, 14 or 12 years earlier, the train could have started leaving the track quicker with forgiveness. His buddy Joe Morgan, who was alive, Reggie Jackson called me last night. We had a big discussion on that. So with everything that's happening overall, with everything that's going down today, I'm really hurting. And I always, it's not hurting enough not to show up to work, which has never happened to me. But I'm just really devastated by the news I got last night. And what brings me a little bit of peace and solitude is I got a chance to see him recently. And it was a really great moment for me and my son. And I want to kind of remember that. I want to remember that moment. And I want to live that moment. And Hit King, I love you. I told him I loved him. He had a big impact on my life. He made a lot of mistakes. He took a lot of heat. Okay, he wasn't always perfect. We know that. Okay, but he's a human being. And I thought that forgiveness should have been the priority with him. And I really respect the people who wanted to keep him out of the Hall of Fame. I got a lot of respect for those people. I didn't try to change people's minds. I said, if you weren't into Pete going into the Hall of Fame, like I'm not into Bonds going into the Hall of Fame with steroids. I'm not. And I could change my mind down the road. But I would never change my mind unless Pete Rose went in before the steroid cheaters, before other people. But Pete made his bed, and he cheated the game. And he did knowingly bet on baseball when he was the manager of the Cincinnati Reds. He was never accused, nor did he ever bet on baseball as a player. And I always thought the resolution to this problem was pretty simple. Forgive Pete, get him in the Hall of Fame, and put on his plaque a big asterisk, and you make it in bronze, and you weld it, and it's a big asterisk, and you put it on the plaque. And on the plaque, it says, the all-time Hit King, who played in more games and won more games than anyone who's ever played baseball, was banished from baseball for gambling on the game. You put it on the plaque, so every little girl and boy who walks by the plaque sees it to eternity, that he did cheat the game, and he paid the price. Because he's dead now, so he paid the price. They kept him out. right or wrong, and he paid the price as now he has moved on in life. So I just think it was the right thing to do. I can't debate it anymore. I usually do a Pete Rose show on his birthday every year and on the day of the Hall of Fame. But now I'll just continue to talk about my friend. And whenever a vision comes up or a memory, you know, I went in my phone. I had about 40 pictures of Pete and I, and I just posted one of my son and I because that's the way I want to remember him. So for the all-time hit king, I wish I had a chance to say goodbye formally. I love the man. He changed my life. Gave me a big break when I needed a break. When I needed a break in my career and I needed a chance, he gave me a chance. And I'm eternally grateful for that. So that's Pete Rose. We're going to play some of the interviews. I had Reggie Jackson last night. I was with Reggie Sunday at the Raider game on the sideline. He's been coming and sitting with Mark Davis these last couple of games. So I was just with Reggie. He called. And you'll hear some other things coming up here in a little bit. But my goal today was to do all Pete Rose until the Davante Adams rumors broke. Earlier this morning, he was on with Kay Adams. The speculation on what's going to happen with Davante Adams. And I will tell you what I know because I always, always, always tell you what I know. I have no idea what's going to happen with Davante Adams, nor does anybody on God's green earth have any information other than speculation or rumors right now. So I'm very humbled. I'm very humbled by the people who call me and say, well, what do you know about Davante? And with the utmost respect, I say this to friends, family, and coworkers. Why are you asking me? Do you think I'm Devontae's neighbor? Do you think I drive to work with Davante every day? Not at all. So I don't know what Devontae's thinking. He didn't tell Kay Adams anything other than he's injured. He's going through a hamstring injury. And if she's asking him questions about what's your future look like, and he says, I'm just going to take it day by day and all of that, that is not admitting or denying anything. So then people speculate. But there are good people who speculate. They're journalists who cover the team. I mean, Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport are the two biggest names and by far. They're on the Mount Rushmore breaking news. They have nothing on this. They have nothing on this because there's nothing here yet on this. So as of right now, I would say that when it comes to Davante, he has not requested a trade at all, and the Raiders haven't shopped him to anyone as of this broadcast and me being live on YouTube and the flagship of the Raiders. So at this point, any reports or feelings are based on pure speculation, and I'm not in the speculation business. That's not what I do. I run a fast-paced radio show. Now, could something come out of this? Of course. I don't know if he's happy or not, but I always knew. I always said this about Davante Adams, and I will continue to say this. He is a first-ballot Hall of Famer. He's played his ass off his entire career at the highest level. He's played great at times for the Raiders. He's a captain for the Raiders. He's going through a real injury now. It's an injury, and he's not able to play. How he comes out of that injury, I don't know. Yeah, people are also asking me, like I'm a trainer or a doctor, what do you think of the hamstring? Are you kidding me? Like I know, like I'm looking at an MRI? Come on. We don't know. So for everybody who wants to speculate, he's not happy, this, that, all of that, you want to make the noise. I made more noise in the Raider Nation than anyone this week because in front of 60,000 people, I grabbed the microphone live with 4 minutes before kickoff, and I said, beat the Browns and send Cleveland home with the loss. So the guy who's made the most noise in the entire Raider Nation this week is me because I had the balls in the end zone with Sibley Scholes and Eric Allen to yell at the Cleveland fans and send them home with the loss. I controlled that narrative. That was me. I don't control what AP likes or not. I don't follow him on Instagram or Twitter. I hope he doesn't follow me. I wouldn't follow me on Twitter. I'm an idiot half the time there. So I don't, you know, we live in an era now where fortunately I'm connected to Fred Biletnikoff, George Atkinson, Phil Villapiano, the legends of the game. They lived in a different time. There were no cell phones, internets, no TikTok, no nothing. They didn't play for players, coaches, or not. They just showed up and played their ass off on Sunday. There wasn't a lot of noise. We remember the noise with Marcus Allen and Al Davis. That was a really big story. I was the first to interview Marcus when he came back, when Mark Davis did the right thing, because Mr. Davis and Marcus had a falling out. It was real. And Mark put it back together with Marcus. And now you see Marcus everywhere because Mark Davis is a unifier. Even Mark Davis's critics will tell you Mark's a great guy. Mark wants to do everything to make people happy. Mark pays people whatever they need. Look at some of the salaries Mark Davis is paying for people who are still getting paid and are no longer here. So I don't get in front of people's feelings. I don't get in front of people's money. And I don't get in front of people's injuries. And I don't do a talk show like some people in this market who don't have any skin in the game. They make little to no money. They don't have the advertisers I have. And they come in every day thinking it's a free-for-all just to talk on the radio and stir the pot. I am not in that category. I'm not in that category where I throw blank up against the wall to see what will help with our ratings and revenue. I got that already taken care of. All right. If I ever have to do a show the rest of my life for getting more people to listen, that's the day I walk out the door. I'm cool with who listens to me, who trusts my voice and knows. I got to interview the head coach tomorrow. I'm the only guy in the state of Nevada that does that. I think that's a privilege. I asked him a really tough question last week on the business decision. He answered that very quickly and we move on. Part of my situation is I work for the team. And I work for Lotus Broadcasting. I also work for SiriusXM. I have multiple jobs. I have to treat all those jobs the same way, with respect, because I have bosses and people that I have to work with. So, Devontae, I don't know if Devontae would know me if he walked past me at Chef Barry's at our favorite mutual restaurant, one of our favorite restaurants. But I've always said this about Devontae. I know from talking to people that he's really happy in Vegas, like over the moon happy in Vegas because of his home in Summerlin and his kids and their school and he's got a great wife. She's at all the games and all that. Can things change? Of course they can change. But it's going to have nothing to do because of what JT the Brick in third person thinks of this. They don't run anything by me, man. Tom Telesco don't run the cap by me. Coach Pierce doesn't ask how I'm feeling every day before I get on the radio. And I don't get in front of people's personal decisions if they're upset with one another, unless it's my wife and my kids, and I have to do that. And fortunately, I got a great wife and good kids, and I don't have to get in front of them. So for everybody who wants to stir the pot and want rumors and, hey, you know, other teams are interested. Of course other teams would be interested in Devontae Adams if he was on the trade block. As of today, he's not. I can confirm that. I can confirm that today. Will tomorrow change? If something changes, I'll let you know. I'll be in the building tomorrow. If I hear anything that I can put on the air that is respectful, I will. But again, you got to remember, a lot of athletes today in this era have to go on other shows. So Devontae has a deal with Kay Adams. He's not on there just every week to just say hello. There's a deal. DraftKings, whatever, everybody's getting paid, right? Pat McAfee has Aaron Rodgers on every week, right? Aaron Rodgers gets paid. He probably donates the money to a charity, whatever he does. So athletes talk more than ever. I would say this again, and let this be the end of my monologue. As of now, there's one guy I look towards. I respect the hell out of this head coach. I like him a lot. He's been great to me. All the other coaches have been great to me. I like this coach a lot because he's authentic. He's authentic. He's going to tell you when he's pissed. He's going to tell you when he's happy. He's going to have a cigar. He's going to talk about business. He's going to tell you because that's who he is, and that's not going to change. Is he going to change as a head coach? I don't know. Maybe Marvin Lewis and Tom Coughlin sits down with him and says, hey, try this a little bit, and we'll see what happens. I defer to Max Crosby, my friend and a guy I respect who knows me and has taken the time to get to know me and my family. He's taken real time to know me, and I'm a nobody. I'm just one of a bunch of people that do radio, and Max has gone out of his way to let me be involved with his foundation, to help him with certain things, to do things along the way coming up, and I defer to Max. And if Max has got something to tell me, I'll ask him or he'll tell me, because Max is the perfect leader for this team at this point now. Okay, Max Crosby is not making any noise. Max Crosby is trying to fight through an injury, and I'm assuming Devontae is too, because Devontae is an unbelievable player and warrior. You know how many hits Devontae's taken to his brain and how many times he's dove over the end zone and put his body on the line for you and NFL fans. But I think this time is a good time for there not to be a lot of noise. Follow me, not because you give a crap about my opinion, but at least follow me for this one thing I've been saying. I tried to get everybody to October 1st. I saw a lot of noise. I saw a lot of weird things. I was trying to be Raider therapist, walk everybody off the ledge like I do. And I said, just get to October 1st, call a timeout. Shh, breathe. Get to 2-2. Did you see the Dolphins last night? They can't run a play. Tyreek Hill's yelling at his coach. Did you see Justin Herbert? He took his helmet and he slammed it up against the bench. You see all the injuries around the league? Christian McCaffrey's flying to Germany. If he can't play, the Niners are done. Absolutely finished. Did you see the Rams? They should be 0-4. They got one win. We got them on the schedule. You think Joe Burrow's happy today at 1-3? You think Trevor Lawrence and Doug Peterson are having it a little bit more tougher than the 2-2 Raiders they are? So what I encourage everybody to do is do whatever the hell you want. If you want to be miserable, be miserable. If you want to be happy, be happy. I choose to hang out with people, Raider fans who go to tailgates, they go to bars, they wear costumes, they get up there, they're ready to go. The other miserable people, some of them, there's not many of them, you just block them and get them out of your life. Right now, is there any drama going on with the Raiders? I don't know. On my concern level, I don't know where I'm at, a 2 or a 3 or whatever it is. But again, my opinions are strong. When we find out that Devontae is happy or not happy and it's firm, and I've always said there's always an open microphone. There's one in the building. They built a really expensive studio up there where I sit in a couple days a week. Tomorrow we're live on YouTube. We'll have the coach. And if anybody wants to talk player or coach, there are many microphones that have a power on switch for them to talk about and tell you what they think. We want to hear from you. 702-365-9200. All right, let's get to Chris in West Oakland. When Chris calls, we put him up. He's an asset to the show. What do you think, Chris?
Hey, JT. Plenty of time. I'll hit Devontae and all that later. This was a Pete Rose day, and thanks for letting me talk last night. It was a real pleasure and privilege to follow Reggie Jackson and Mad Dog Russo. And we lost the Titan last night in the game of baseball, and we all know his accolades, hit king, Charlie Hustlers. As I said last night, one of my very first introductions to baseball was the early 70s. My dad taking me to all the playoff games, and literally the first batter I ever saw in a World Series game in Oakland was Pete Rose in Game 3. I remember him taking Catfish Hunter deep to lead off Game 5, and I always had an appreciation. Again, I wasn't a diehard Pete Rose fan playing because back when we were kids, JT, you didn't get to see the other league that much. There wasn't interleague play. Every game wasn't on TV, but he's one of those guys you knew who he was. He was Pete Rose. He was Charlie Hustle. And again, like I said, the baseball world lost a titan. And what I wanted to talk about a little bit more is what we talked about last night is his lasting legacy. I think, again, what Major League Baseball has done to him borders on criminal. I disagree with you in one respect. I don't agree with the hardliners anymore that want to keep him out of baseball. Unlike steroid users, who you can argue the whole era was on steroids, what they did changed what they did on the field. Barry Bonds doesn't hit 700 home runs if he doesn't start juicing in the late 1990s. Mark McGwire, who was a great home run hitter, I don't know if any of these guys become what they were without steroids. Nothing Pete Rose did affected his performance on the field. He was caught betting on his team to win as a manager. That's it. Simple solution. Don't let him manage anymore. But Stephen A. Smith brought up a great point today on the radio on First Take that I agree with wholeheartedly. They're trying to erase his legacy. They're trying to erase everything this man did on the field. And the hypocrisy of baseball now that I'm watching the Astro Tiger game, and in the second inning they've got a DraftKings ad comes up for live in-game batting on the bottom of the TV screen. It's just hypocrisy is its finest. And Christopher Mad Dog Russo brought up a great point this morning. They can bring out Pete Rose in 1999 for All-Star Game celebrations. They can put him in the Rose Hall, in the Reds Hall of Fame. You can use him when it benefits baseball. But they basically, I've heard people say, well, even if Pete Rose is on the ballot, I won't vote for him. Those people should never be allowed, because I believe the reason he's not in the Hall of Fame is personal. The people that are hardliners didn't like him personally. Yes, Pete Rose was a flawed human being, but you cannot erase what he did on the baseball field. And I just think one of the saddest things that happened is they denied this man his day in Cooperstown for what he meant to the game of baseball. I know he made a mistake, but you can't deny what Pete Rose meant to baseball. And considering Major League Baseball is completely independent of the Hall of Fame, there's no reason he shouldn't have been put in, except that they changed the rules when he became eligible that banned players couldn't be eligible for the Hall of Fame and weren't on the ballot. So, again, rest in peace, Charlie Hustle. I hope at least your son and your family get to enjoy your day in Cooperstown, because, unfortunately, the powers that be thought that a life sentence was what you deserved. And I'll leave you with this, JT. People have murdered people in this country, and I'm not comparing baseball to murder. But people have committed murder and have served less time than Pete Rose has served in baseball jail. Rest in peace, Charlie Hustle. I'm sorry for your loss, JT. I know what a great friend he was, and he gave you your shot in the business. And, I'll call you later in the week.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it, Chris. Later. Yeah, when it comes to, what I'm going to miss the most about Pete is the phone calls. That's it. The calls. Getting him on the radio was always great, and he'd always come on with me. He did go dark on us for about a year, where Pete was traveling a lot, and I'd leave him a text, and then he came flooding back into my life and wanted to come on a lot and all of that. I'm going to miss the fact that I'm not going to be doing a lot of Pete Rose debate shows anymore, where we're going to sit there and debate all this and talk about him as much as we should. I just think when people pass away, when icons pass away, they deserve more than a monologue. They deserve your time, and give them a day or a lot longer to pay tribute to him, and we'll do that with Pete Rose today. I'm ready to move on to Denver. We're lining up some Denver guests. I think the Broncos are going to be the toughest out they've been in the last. Remember, this team has won 8 in a row against Denver, including Russell Wilson, who's not good. He's an elite, great quarterback. He's, it's on a downturn now, and he's injured too. He might be great when he comes back. But this Denver team, fortunately, has a terrible offense. Terrible. And that should be able to keep the Raiders in an opportunity to win on the road. Now, if this was Russell Wilson and they had Jerry Jeudy and they were 3 wide and they were healthy and the Raiders are banged up, whoa, you're looking at the game. What's going to happen? This is a game the Raiders should win. They have a better roster than Denver, but they got a lot of guys who are hurt, including Devontae Adams. So we'll see who's going to get up and play and who can't play because they have real injuries and they can't go. And the guys who are going to play, man, they seemed pretty motivated to play last week, didn't they? And the team looked pretty good at times if they can just get the quarterback play to catch up with some of the rest of the play on this team. The monologue brought to you by PT's, 5 to 7, midnight to 2, the best happy hour in town. Great American Pub has opened just off of Buffalo. I will be there in the next 24 to 48 hours to have a beer, salute Pete Rose, watch some sports, go check out their new location. Other than that, we're open. The rest of the show, I wanted to do a lot of Pete Rose. You're going to hear my conversation with Reggie Jackson. Very emotional. I want you to hear that. Also, some of our other guests, some pieces of what I heard last night, and then take your phone calls on that. If you want to get into the Broncos Raiders, go for it. I'm prepared. I'm getting ready for tomorrow. Coach's interview, and we do our show, Raiders Rundown, which they turned into a TV show now after Alabama, Georgia on ABC. That was pretty cool. Excited about that.
Pete Rose played baseball at one speed, and that gear was on full display in 1970. The game was tied in the bottom of the 12th when Charlie Hustle rounded third looking to score on a Jim Hickman single. And suddenly, Ray Fosse was all that stood between Rose and a National League win.
It's all over. The National League win. Pete Rose hurled into Ray Fosse, who was slow in getting up.
The collision left Fosse with a separated shoulder, and Rose unapologetic about his effort to win.
I did start to slide, but he left me no recourse because there was no place to slide, and there's no sense in ever sliding into a bag if you can't get the bag.
Some comments from Bob Costas and Pete Rose on the collision with Ray Fosse in the All-Star game. Ray Fosse was never the same, which was unfortunate. Ray Fosse was a hell of a player, great broadcaster. I've interviewed him, but I know Pete well, and no one played harder than Pete Rose, and that's a pretty cool legacy to have. Charlie Hustle, whenever we talk about athletes in professional sports, you really want to follow the athletes that give it their all, right, who play their best. Pete Rose changed the game from the way he played to he was the first free agent to make $1 million. Think of it now. We got quarterbacks making $50 million a year. Pete got $1 million contract before Nolan Ryan. And then Pete changed that and salary started to go up. Pete was one of the first guys to get big commercials, big TV commercials. But Pete gambled a lot, and he cared about gambling. And I wasn't in the position to say he was addicted to it or not. It sure looked like he had signs of it because it got in the way of his personal life and his family and his career, right? It took him out of baseball. And that was something that I don't know. You know, Pete always wanted to gamble. And up until recently, you know, he still was gambling. He claimed in a documentary that he stopped. I don't know if that was true or not, but Pete liked to gamble. And Pete liked to make money. You know, a lot of people met Pete Rose online as they were waiting to pay for his autograph. And Pete was pretty good at that. I was around him a number of times when I would go to an autograph signing, not to get something, but just to go see him and say hi. And he'd say, stand over here. He'd call me Bricker. Bricker, stand over here. And I would watch Pete. And they give him bats and balls and this and that. And Pete would have a TV monitor on a college football game because he had money on it. But when the people came to him to sign the autograph and said, hey, Pete, I grew up, I loved you, I played the way you inspired me to play, he always appreciated that. And he made money. He needed to make money. A lot of the guys who played in the 60s and 70s didn't make any money. So they needed to sign autographs. They needed to go to card shows. And that's how Pete made his living. Now, could have Pete stopped doing all that and then maybe got back in baseball and been a consultant for a couple of $1 million? Yeah, he probably could have did that. But he lived his life, and he lived a lot of it in Vegas. And he loved the restaurant scene in Vegas. And there was a couple of restaurants that he liked a lot and he hung out at. And he'd pop up. You'd see Pete Rose in town from time to time, and I'm going to miss him. So if you got a comment on Pete Rose, please call in today. Today's the day to comment on the all-time hit king. He died at 83 yesterday, 702-365-9200. My conversation with Reggie Jackson coming up. And the Raiders, everything's wide open on the Raiders. You can call in on whatever you want. The coach, the GM, the running back, the wide receiver, the Broncos. But I do more than that. I'm a sports talk host. Today's about Pete Rose, not about drama and rumors and people speculating on a bunch of stuff. Pete Rose matters a lot more to me today than speculation, which is not true in a lot of the world that I live in. But there is speculation. I'm not going to say there's no speculation. That is, but if we got nothing to plant a flag with, I'm not going to just sit here and kill 2 hours wondering what could happen if a player's not happy. Because if he's not happy and it changes, I'm going to do the same show anyway. We're going to cover the show then. Thor, what's happening? Thanks for holding. Raider Nation Drinking Club.
JT, what's happening, my brother? Honestly, my condolences. Rest in peace to Charlie Hustle, man. I remember as a child, my brother's father telling us when we were playing baseball, if you could play like Charlie Hustle, you could really play this game. At that time, I didn't know his name was Pete Rose, but that always stuck. Mm-hmm. That always stuck. So rest in peace. You know, I mean, I'm a little bit younger than to have watched Pete live like that, but to see, you know, whatever, just the pure heart. Mm-hmm. Everyone should play sports like that, man. Honestly, I was really sad when I saw he died, and I know he was your friend, so I know it really hurt you, and I'm sorry, brother. The Raiders, man, honestly, I'm getting sick of the nonsense. Like, all these people out here are talking whatever in different Raider groups on YouTube, on all of it, even in your YouTube chat, and all of it. Listen, we don't know what's going on. Last I heard, Devontae wants to be a Raider. Devontae's hurt. Give people the benefit of the doubt. Like, everyone wants to start some kind of chat or they know. Stop it. Let's be Raiders. Back our team. I want Aiden O'Connell to start for the start of the year. You know what? Gardner Minshew started. Gardner Minshew's the guy in there right now. I'm backing him. Devonta is our receiver until someone says otherwise. Mm-hmm. What is it doing to come out of here? People see stuff that, like, mm-hmm. just stop. Be a Raider. Everyone be Raiders. Raider Nation Unite did more than ever. We're back in this thing. Everyone was falling off the wagon, crying.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm so sick of it.
Yeah.
We're at 2-2 right now, right where mm-hmm. we need to be. Let's go. The season is right in this thing.
Yeah, right there.
Let's go.
All right,
come together, man.
Thanks, Thor. Appreciate it. Yeah, there's a lot of people want to speculate on rumors, and that's where we are in this era of sports radio, and I embrace it at times. And you know, there's a lot of things that are happening with Aaron Rodgers that was speculated, and I was at the forefront of that, hearing that. The thing that I find amazing is if you want your favorite radio host or journalist or media personality to tell you what they don't know, then I'm confused with why you would do that. Like, why would you, like, if you want to ask Vinny today or Q or myself what we think, all of us are going to have three different opinions. And I hope you tune into our flagship station for three different opinions. But I'm not in the speculation business. I never have been. Would I like Devonta to be here forever? Sure. He came here with Derek Carr being the guy. Derek left. There's been coaching changes. Generally, he seems very happy with his life out here. He plays hard when he's in there. He's a warrior. I love his. How many times have I opened up my show or talked on the pre and post about getting the ball to Devonta? I'm one of the few people who still believe give Devonta the ball more. Like, there's some Raider fans that are, hey, man, we're better without him. Oh, stop. No, you're not. You're not better without LeBron James. You're not better without Devonta. Okay? You're not better without, you know, Aaron Judge. Just because Aaron Judge's fill-in went 2-for-3, you're not better without Aaron Judge. The Raiders are at their best with Devonta. If he can't go because he's hurt, and a bunch of other guys step up, and DJ Turner gets a touchdown, you think we're better with DJ Turner or Devonta? Well, DJ Turner's a fine player. He's not Devonta. So you want this team to be at full strength. And if you want to speculate on, you know, like another thing, Michael Mayer, a lot of people are blowing me up. What's going on with Michael Mayer? It's personal. How dare me comment on the team that I work for saying, this is a personal matter. The coach is handling it. That's it. Okay, why would I speculate on Michael Mayer? I don't know Michael well. I had him on 3 or 4 times. I just wish him well. If it's personal, I hope he and his family are okay. We move on until they tell us something new. But if Devontae's going to talk to Kay Adams and she's going to put it out on social media for everybody to see and everybody wants to speculate on that, that's good for Kay Adams. She's getting a lot of clicks. A lot of people are getting a lot of clicks today. I don't care about clicks. Don't care at all. Like to put up some fun stuff from time to time, the engagement. Want to get this YouTube channel up to about 20,000. We just went over 5, which is taking time, which is okay. And just kind of go through life and hope the Raiders win some games. You got to 2-2. 2-2 is not good. Nothing to be proud of, but it's better than 1-3 and a bunch of other teams that trailed the Raiders. Now the Raiders have an opportunity to beat Bo Nix, and stay undefeated against Sean Payton. That should be the priority in the Raider Nation as we continue on. Hey, I want to tell everybody about Virgin Hotels. That's where I saw Pete Rose the last time. So it's been on my mind today. They got a lot of great concerts, unbelievable restaurants, the pool. They got a deal where if you're local, you want to go down to the pool, they got a great rate on a pool key. Unbelievable promotion. The theater is one of the best spots in town to see live music. The center bar is coming back. And you can find me at One Steakhouse with Johnny O'Donnell. Is that good enough? You can find me always at Virgin Hotels.
Pete Rose is with us. Pete, we talk about the move to third base, and I can remember back in the night when Sparky said, tomorrow Pete goes to third against the Atlanta Braves, and really I think everybody thought at that time he was crazy, but it's been a miracle move for this ball club. Your willingness to go there and the way you've played and what it's done for this club.
Well, George did a great job for us. You know, George has just hit over 20 home runs and hit 315 and over 75 RBIs, and All my move to third did, Marty, is gave us a set lineup. And whenever you got a set lineup, it's a lot easier to play a baseball game. And Sparky knew this, and, you know, it's a team effort. You can't put the finger on one or two or three different guys in this ball club because everybody's chipped in their part, and that's why we're 20 games ahead of the Dodgers.
Well, I've never heard that soundbite. Marty Brenneman with Pete Rose. Pete Rose went to the All-Star game at five different positions. So next hour, we're going to play Reggie Jackson, my conversation with him. And I just want to tell you a preview on that. So Reggie, I texted Reggie last night when Pete died, and he got back to me, and he said he'd come on. And I looked, because growing up in the 70s as a Yankee fan, I said this about football. Football, the best era in football history to me is the 70s. Not the 60s, not the 80s, not now. It's the 70s. That, to me, had it all. You had the Bradshaw-era Steelers. You had the legend of the Raiders, Raiders' best team. You had Kansas City, which was great. You had America's team and the birth of the Cowboys with Landry and Staubach. You had the Vikings with Fran Tarkenton. And you had all these unbelievable teams. And only the 72 Dolphins, still the only undefeated team of all time. That's what Kansas City's trying to surpass. But baseball, so from 1972, Reggie won the World Series 72, 73, 74. Pete won 75, 76. Reggie won Yankees 77, 78. 80, to end the decade, Pete won with the Phillies. Pete Rose and Reggie Jackson won eight of the World Series of the decade. And that's just mind-blowing to me. And Pete was a great teammate and a great baseball player, but I knew him as a person, and I'm going to miss him terribly. Larry Boa was one of the great shortstops of his era. He played with Pete on that 80s championship team, and when Pete died, he called me last night.
Tremendous impact, not only as a teammate, but, you know, when I first came up, he was a guy that gave me all kinds of advice about, because I was small and didn't hit home runs, and told me that there's a place in the game for you. And he was very influential in my career. There's no question about that.
Larry, how iconic was he when he stepped on the diamond and you were there, and to see this and the aura he had around all these ballparks around baseball?
It was unbelievable. I mean, he was the kind of player that when you weren't playing the Reds, when he was with the Reds and you watch television, you watch him hit. He was probably the most intense player I ever played with, as far as never giving away at bats, never quitting. I mean, he had a huge influence on us for winning the World Series in 80. There's no question about that.
What was it like to be around him off the diamond?
It's great. I mean, all he did was talk. Baseball was his life. He lived and died for baseball. That's all he cared about. And, you know, to do what he did on the baseball field, I know what he did. Betting on baseball was not the right move for him, even though he did bet on his team to win. And I just wish that we could turn the clock back and he could just say, hey, I did it, get suspended for a year, and he probably would have been in the Hall of Fame. But, you know, he just, I mean, to do what he did, you're talking about over 200 hits a year for 20 years. That's incredible. And the way he played the game is something that stays with me forever. I mean, he played the game hard. Whether you were up 10, down 10, the score was tied, he brought that intensity every at bat, every single inning. And there's never going to be a player like him to come around. There's some great players now, but to do what he did, over 4,000 hits, is incredible.
Larry, finally, he was my friend, a mentor to me in radio, but you were much tighter with him. When we look at the Hall of Fame debate, which is, I got to get the question out, and I want to respect his life, but a lot of people expected that when he would pass away eventually, the conversation would open up on his enshrinement into Cooperstown. I hope that happens, but I wish you had the opportunity to be there with Pete on that day.
I wish I was too, and it would be a shame. Again, what he did, it was wrong. There's no question, but how long do you get punished for that? And it's a shame that if he does get inducted into the Hall of Fame, it's after his death, because he definitely lived for being in the Hall of Fame. That's, you know, he wanted to be considered one of the greatest players ever put on a uniform. And I hope it comes to fruition. I don't know if it will, but it would have been nice to go to that to see him get inducted into the Hall of Fame, and obviously that's not going to happen.
Larry, sorry for your loss. Appreciate a few minutes. Godspeed to Pete Rose, your friend.
Thank you very much.
That's a great Larry Boa, who was a five-time All-Star. Larry had 2,191 hits. Pete had 4,256, and it just tells you how great of a player that Larry Boa was. He won a World Series with the Phillies. He was also a manager for a very long time. World Series champion in 1980. He was the NL Manager of the Year in 2001, and he's in the Phillies Hall of Fame. He won a championship with Pete Rose. So I got a lot more reaction to that next hour. Today I want to spend most of the show talking about Pete Rose. Nash in Houston, you're up next. Appreciate you being patient. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll tell you, JT, I grew up in the 70s too, so it's kind of sad when bittersweet, and he wasn't a friend to me like he was to you, but those guys that you traded their baseball cards, put those baseball cards in your tires, and now they're passing away. Rather, they're superstars like a Pete Rose or just an average Joe like an Ed Kram who played for the Mets. So I was a Met fan and a Philly fan, so when Pete Rose played back then, I hated him, because he used to own the Mets. But then he went to the Phillies, and I loved him because he brought that World Series to him and played, again, like you said, with Larry Boa, Mike Schmidt, Greg Luzinski, Steve Carlton, just a lot of great players. And it was just fun to watch that. And I'll tell you, Max Crosby is the Pete Rose of the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably the biggest compliment I think he'd give Max, because he did play so hard, Pete Rose. And again, one of my first memories of baseball was that one you played earlier, him running over Ray Fosse. And that was just unbelievable to see that in an All-Star game. But that's what you loved about him. So we can talk about the Raiders another day,
mm-hmm.
but it is sad to see him go. And Reggie Jackson was also one of my heroes when he played with the A's. So great show, and I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. And anybody over the age of 35, 40 should know Pete Rose. I mean, you really should. But there are guys in their 20s. I mean, my son's 23. My son, who's a senior at ASU, texted me about it. Others, you know, I understand why young kids don't know Pete Rose. But that's a failure of us. Like, how could you not know who led the baseball in hits or what he did? He was banned from baseball, the good, the bad, the uncomfortable stuff. It's not too hard to learn about Pete Rose. He was infamous. He's one of the most important athletes in the history of America. The history of America. And he competed at the same time as Muhammad Ali, Jack Nicklaus, all the legends who competed in the 60s and 70s and stayed relevant till their death at 83. Pete was one of them. And it wasn't all good. And Pete would tell you that. Thanks to my bricklayers on YouTube. Thanks for me getting to this point. Appreciate you. If you want to get into our YouTube chat, it's JT the Brick YT. You'll hear from Reggie Jackson next hour. And he has a channel named after him, Mad Dog. Christopher Mad Dog Russo joins us on the legacy of the all-time hit king.